I am a visiting preacher, and it is good to be here with you today. I bring you greetings from my home congregation at St. Gregory of Nyssa in San Francisco, where it's warmer, but it's not as cold as it could be. I was told that was a Minnesota thing to say, so I say it. Your rector was showing me around the building earlier this morning, showing me some of the details up here and also downstairs. Like a lot of clergy, you know, many of us are sort of frustrated architects. We like buildings, we like the way they are, we like the way they're not quite the way they should be. So clergy mess with church buildings all the time. It's nothing personal, it is just we can't help ourselves. Space matters to us. Design matters to us. It all matters to us. I think about buildings, and I think about the house that I was raised in. The house I was raised in Houston, Texas, was designed in 1964 by an architect named Ursula Oppenheimer. And I actually remember her a little bit, a very sensible tweed, pencil-skirted suit. Very rational person, as you might expect an architect to be. But I don't remember as much about her as I remember the blueprints that she used to draw our house. She left a set with us after we moved into the house. And as a child, I was fascinated by them. I would go into my father's closet and get a stool and climb up and drag the blueprints off the top shelf. And I would unroll them on the dining room table, look at the hidden bones of our house. And like most blueprints, the design and the actual house that was built weren't exactly the same. So instead of the den with a tall, high cathedral ceiling at the top of the stairs and the balcony that overlooked, there was a bedroom because my mother became pregnant while the house was being designed. That's the room that I was in. Instead of the low retaining wall in front of the house with planters behind it, it was just plain because we ran out of money because my mother became pregnant. And there were other alterations as well. Even though the house was not built exactly as planned, you could tell that the house that we lived in came from the plans. The blueprint represented a house that Ursula Oppenheimer saw in her imagination, the house my parents built from her design. Now today's gospel talks about seeing things as they were designed by God to be. And in order to see what's real, the gospel says we have to open our eyes and look in a specific direction. So the text says, "Look," said John the Baptist to his disciples, "there's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." He says, look, not think, not listen, look. There is something about the disciples looking at Jesus, something about their gaze that begins to open the truth of who he is. Something is being manifest to them in this vision. John points them to a sign of God's presence that is opening up for them. And the Gospel of John is a book that's full of signs. Throughout it, there are people and events and things that point to something else. And all of these things, all of these people, all of these events are intermediaries between the audience of the Gospel and God. And scholars are fond of saying that John's Gospel is ultimately not a story about Jesus. It is a story of God and the ways that God is continually striving to be known by us. John's gospel, Jesus is the sign of what God is really like, what God has always been like. So whatever Jesus says or does is a sign of what God has always said and always done. In the Gospel of John, Jesus manifests God in a way that a book about God never could. That's why in John's Gospel, Jesus is called the Logos, the Word. But Word is only one way to translate the Greek Logos. There is another translation that may allow us to hear something new. Another way of translating Logos is blueprint. Jesus is the blueprint from which God builds the universe. Just like a blueprint, Jesus isn't the universe. He points in the direction of what we see when the universe is built by God. Franciscan Richard Rohr says, the very first sign of the incarnation is the Big Bang, the moment in time when God was first materially manifest. And of course, that manifestation of God continues today. The creation reveals God because it is built according to the blueprint made flesh. Jesus Christ. And just like a blueprint, the world in which we live doesn't always seem to grow according to its plan. Because we're free to mess things up, to mess with the plan, or at least to try to mess with the plan. But the Logos, the blueprint of the universe, is eternally true, always present, in every whisper of life, in every burgeoning of creation. John the Baptist calls Jesus the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And that has always been a part of the blueprint. The plan all along was that the broken places in our souls, what we call sin, would be taken away, utterly removed from creation. Signifies that God has never been as interested in sin as human beings have. But obsessing about sin is just another part of the human game. What remains when the sin of the world is taken away is an unbreakable relationship to God that isn't damaged by our best efforts at sinning. What remains when the sin of the world is taken away is the ultimate truth of our humanity. We are filled by the light of God's love and bound indelibly to God and one another. If you start looking in that direction, if you start looking away from sin and looking toward God, then everything changes. Because it means that God's love and God's acceptance and God's inclusion is not only for us, not only for people like us. God's love is open to everyone, even those whom we call our enemies. Listen again to the reading from Isaiah. It's too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. God's love reaches everywhere. And the prophet is telling the people of God that the gift that they have received is simply too wonderful of a thing to be hoarded, to be used only for private enrichment. The prophet is telling the people of God that they have to recognize that God's love is for all people, that God's salvation is universal. God is in love with everyone. that look like members of our own families. And that's a part of the blueprint, too. Which means that if we decide to follow Jesus, then we get to welcome all people that we meet along the way, not as strangers, not as others, not as strange to us, but as members of our own body, the beloved. And that's not easy. I would be bored to death and perfectly happy to spend all of my time with people exactly like me. And then all of the rough edges of my soul would stay rough edges and never be worn away. And so I have to come to Minnesota or other places to see what is truly strange. To become a true stranger. To become the other, the one who is not one of us. And yet, in our strangeness that we share together with all human creation, in our commonality defined in God's love, we're given another sign. A way to perceive what is real, a way to see the blueprint that was as it was originally designed. And it's a very ordinary sign that Jesus chooses to show what we're really like. And it is a meal that we share, Eucharist. It's the meal that we share with those who are prepared and with those who are unprepared to receive it. Meal that we are called to share with those whose belief is strong and those whose belief is weak. A meal we are called to share with those who are pure and those who are dirty. A meal to share with everyone. So if you want to know what it looks like when the sin of the world is taken away, look there. Go there. Receive what is freely offered there, and then take it into your own body and make it who you are. Because that is the point of the meal. Wherever this table is spread, and the stranger is welcomed, and the outcast is given a place to receive God's gifts, that is the way the blueprint of the universe reads. That is the place where we will discover that God is doing something new even today in this world. There we will discover that this meal truly is about giving thanks to God for all the trouble that God sends us in our lives. That it is about acknowledging that every part of our life is blessed by God and made holy by God's love. What remains when the sin of the world is taken away? Well, when his first followers ran after him, Jesus taught them how to look at the world in a new way. He told them to look and see what life defined by love looks like, not what life defined by sin looks like. And he invites us in exactly the same way. So what have you come to see here today? You've come with a broken heart, broken by the pain of the world and its confusion, then you will see love today. If you've come the burden of disappointment, then you will see reconciliation here today. If you come with the soul blazing over the injustices of our world, you will see us struggle to build justice here today. You will see all of these things because they are a part of the plan. The cosmic